Now, Lifestyle with Patty Mack on CFAX 1070.
Everybody, it's great to be here with you. It's a bit rainy out, but, you know, we have an hour together. Grab a cup of coffee. I hope you're going to stay because we got lots of great stuff ahead. We're going to talk to Rachel from Gal Friday Publications about some good reads, and maybe you have a book and you want to publish. Tony Joe from Remax Camosa, and we're going to have a little chat about the state of real estate here on Vancouver Island. It's looking really good, especially with those interest rates. But TJ and I, our favorite beverage, tequila. The Vancouver International Tequila Expo is coming up in May in Vancouver. On the phone, we have Eric Lorenz, who's the founding partner of the Vancouver International Tequila Expo, and Alan Sachs, who is executive director of the BC Hospitality Foundation. And that's where the proceeds will be going from the event. Welcome to the show, both of you.
Good morning.
Good morning. Now, you
Thanks
know, it's great to have you here. Now, tequila is, you know, some people have, you know, they hear the word, they just don't like it, but they haven't really tried it. Now, Eric, you are an expert in the field. Tell us about your education in the field of tequila.
Well, you know, of course, my education started drinking a lot of tequila.
I like your honesty.
Yeah, of course. As the years went on, though, and I branched out past the initial love affair with Sammy Hagar's Cabo Wabo tequila.
Just was there.
Yeah, fair enough. It's a good place. But after you branch out from that, you kind of discover the rest of the world. And I've gone down now to Guadalajara a number of times. You can actually take tequila tasting classes for a week at a time, if you believe that.
Wow.
So that sort of thing, traveling to distilleries, talking to a lot of producers, and drinking more tequila.
And you're certified, right, Eric? A certified mezcalier? Is that what?
Well, maybe I'm certifiable, but but yeah, there is a certification called mezcalier. That's not necessarily the most important part, but yes, I am.
And there's all kinds of different, like mezcal, like tell us how we get tequila and what the different kinds are. We hear mezcal, we hear tequila, agave. Tell us like how we harvest this and where it all comes from.
Sure. So first of all, the blue agave is the agave that the tequila is allowed to be made from. There are 230 or so different species of agave. Agave is a big succulent plant. Looks kind of like an aloe or a yucca, for those who don't know. It's not a cactus. A lot of people think it is. But once you have your agave growing for 8 to 10 years in the state of Jalisco, where tequila comes from, you harvest that. You cut up all the spiny leaves, and you have the heart of the plant. It looks like a big pineapple, like a big, say, 100-pound, 200-pound pineapple, but a big pineapple. After that, you cook the agave in either a steam oven or in the case of mezcal, you cook it in a roasting pit in the ground, so with direct contact with fire and earth and stone. And in either case, you then need to crush the agave. In the case of mezcal, it's literally crushed by a horse or a mule pulling a big stone grinding wheel around and around to crush the agave,
wow.
If you can believe that.
Wow.
In the case of tequila, it's crushed using some kind of mechanized process usually. And that's kind of the norm for that. And then after that, you get the juice from the crushed, cooked agave. You take that juice, you ferment it, usually for up to a week. If it's cooler weather, if it's this time of year, fermentation may take up to 2 weeks. After that, you distill it twice in copper pot stills or stainless steel pot stills, or in the case of mezcal, you may distill it in these really, going way beyond vintage to archaic clay pot stills.
Is that why, you know, that's really interesting. I never had any idea. Is that why mezcal is a little harsher, maybe, the flavor? Like, it's usually darker and tequila looks a little lighter, or what is the difference in flavor?
Well, in terms of taste versus color, taste-wise, mezcal is definitely expected to be more more full of smoke, definitely more mineral, more earth elements, and tequila likely is going to be more herbaceous, sometimes sweeter. In terms of color, if there's color in the bottle, it's either because it's aged or because they've added caramel coloring. So cheaper tequila or cheaper mezcal that doesn't say Reposado or doesn't say Añejo, which are two aging designations, if it doesn't say that and it says maybe gold, then that means they've added caramel coloring to the bottle to sort of insinuate that there's aging involved.
Gold is not good.
Gold is not good.
And how about that worm? What's the deal with that worm?
So the worm, this is something that it was certainly added as a gimmick, but I always like to point out there's at least a tiny bit of authenticity in the agave worm that's in some value-priced mezcals, let's call them. The people of Oaxaca, they're, you know, Oaxaca's full of at least 30 different indigenous groups still, and eating larvae, eating bugs, eating ant eggs, all sorts of things is part of, you know, part of their cultural heritage. So the dried agave worm is something that in every little market in small towns in Oaxaca, and for that matter, all the way to Mexico City, you can get big piles of dried agave worms just to crunch on and munch on, flavored with chili and lime or salt or whatever they're flavored with. So putting one of those in there certainly started as a gimmick, but it is related to the kinds of things people have consumed for a long time.
Well, and Paul Sachs, you've been involved, you're executive director of the BC Hospitality Foundation, and you've been in the business for over 30 years. Tell us a bit about your background in the hospitality industry.
Well, thanks, Patty. And, just Saturday morning talking about tequila, it's pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah, we're off to a good start, right?
My background is very much two halves. I was in the hotel business for many years. It started in England, worked my way through the food and beverage side, and then coming to Canada, worked for Delta Hotels for a number of years. I managed three hotels for them before going into the corporate food and beverage side. And then for the last long while, and it's too many years to note, I've been running a business in the hospitality industry. And more importantly, for the last 3 years, have been involved with the BC Hospitality Foundation as their executive director.
Now, tell us, when it comes to the hospitality industry, what kind of jobs that encompasses as far as people you take care of?
Well, it's is as widespread as possible, because we're talking about people whose livelihood depends on the foundation. So traditionally, you'd think of someone serving, someone working in a hotel, someone working in a restaurant, in a bar. But it could be working in a coffee shop. It could be working in any. It could in a concession. But we also we work with people who are supplying the hospitality industry. So the people in the wine business, we have obviously a very close relationship. People in the tequila business, we have a very close relationship with. People whose livelihood, you know, without the hospitality industry, would be very suspect. So anyone, we've helped people who are wine agents. We've helped people that are food suppliers. In fact, our latest beneficiary is someone from the food supply business. So it's really looking at the whole spectrum of people whose livelihood depends on the hospitality industry, not just people who work directly in operations.
And just before we go to the break, Alan, the thing is that people in this industry don't usually have a backup plan for health care. Tell us about why this foundation is in existence and what you give back.
The foundation is all about supporting people who are in financial difficulty due to a health or medical crisis. And unfortunately, as you mentioned, there are a lot of those people. And it's not just because of lack of benefits or insurance, because, you know, that exists in many other industries. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, it's because of the nature of jobs. There's a lot of people who are transient. There's part-timers. There's seasonality. And the nature of the beast in that there's a lot of tip earners. And, you know, cash burns a hole in the pocket. So we have a lot of people who haven't made plans for a rainy day. And that happens, you know, in many other walks of life. But our foundation has said, you know, we want to actually help people who haven't made those plans and who something happens unexpectedly, which they didn't plan for and don't have a backup plan. We're there to step up and help them.
Well, we're going to talk more about them when we get back, because we've had you guys on before and talked about some of the great success stories and what you give back, and talk about more about the Tequila Expo and what we need to know about it. Back in a minute.
Rain, sun, snow. We get it right with an accurate forecast. If it's happening, it's here. Victoria's News Authority, CFAX 1070.
For less than the cost of an apple a day, Thompson Roof Treatment can keep the roof of an average house free of moss for its remaining life. Make a healthy choice for your roof with Thompson's exclusive Lifetime Moss Control Program. A proactive approach with early treatment will maximize the life of your roof, resulting in lower maintenance costs. Call Thompson Roof Treatment and ask about their Lifetime lifetime moss control program. Protect your roof and its warranty with Thompson Roof Treatment. 385-3124. 385-3124.
To go Nordic, you don't have to have a name like Hans or Helga. You don't have to own a helmet with horns or put little dots over the letter O. You just have to get up to Mount Washington's world-class Nordic Center and spectacular Raven Lodge. Discover one of North America's best Nordic experiences. Cross country on 55 kilometers of pristine trails or snowshoe through stunning old growth forest. It's great for getting fit and it's super affordable. Just $18 gets you snowshoeing for a half day. That includes rental. So go Nordic. You might even develop a strange craving for pickled herring. Visit MountWashington.ca.
Boxing week may be over, but at Victoria Hyundai, you can still celebrate.
That's because they've extended friends and family employee pricing.
You pay what employees pay. This is the best time ever to get a new Hyundai.
Get 0% on most new models, plus up to $10,000 in price adjustments.
Get cash back, plus no payments for 90 days.
Come see the Elantra, the North American Car of the Year, and the 2013 Santa Fe.
Hyundai, new thinking, new possibilities at Victoria Hyundai, 525 Gorge Road East and VictoriaHyundai.com.
This year, get the Working Opportunity Fund commercialization shares working for you. Receive extra tax savings of up to 30% with the added bonus of dividend payments of up to 25% over a three-year period. An RSP investment that delivers the tax savings and dividends you deserve. The Working Opportunity Fund commercialization shares. Invest today. Shares of the fund are sold by prospectus. Go to growthworks.ca for details and limitations. Dividends are not guaranteed.
Listen to the Connor Financial Report every Saturday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Frankly speaking, you can't afford to miss it.
We are back with Eric Lorenz, who is with the Vancouver International Tequila Expo, and Alan Sachs, Executive Director of BC Hospitality Foundation. And we're talking about the foundation. Tell us what it means to have these funds donated from this event for the association, Alan, or for the foundation.
You know, we're extremely grateful to Eric and his partners at the Tequila Expo, because we depend on support from the industry. We don't have funding. All the funding for the foundation is done through our own fundraising or the efforts of our supporters. We don't have grants. We don't have tax money. It's all about helping our own. And funding comes directly from events that we hold and events that other people hold. So we are very much dependent on people such as Eric and his partners, who understand the importance of the Hospitality Foundation to the industry and want to give back to the industry that supports them. So it's absolutely critical, and we're very much about supporting and promoting their events, because they're key to us. They're key to our survival, and to be able to help the individuals that we're supporting. And just to add, in addition to helping people who are in financial crisis due to the medical condition, we provide about $35,000 worth of scholarships to people entering into the industry in hospitality, sommelier, and culinary programs as well.
And that affects people right here on Vancouver Island. I know we have events here, so if you want to start something, a great event to give back to. And we'll talk more about the industry too, because it is a great industry and something that people that go into it have a passion about, and obviously you do, Alan, after 30 years. And Eric, you have a passion for tequila. Now, how did you come up with the idea? And it's the second year of it, so what's keeping it going?
Well, we came up with the idea. The idea came out of really my own mind. I moved to Vancouver in 2005. The first thing that I thought when I got here was like, man, what's with the crappy selection of tequila in this province? And that sort of, went forward to last year. I got hooked up with a few other guys who shared that view and shared the idea of, A, we love tequila. B, there really isn't enough knowledge about it in order to even foster a big enough category to have the kind of diversity of brands of tequila that you have in somewhere like San Diego or even Chicago. So basically in the rest of the world, in the rest of the U.S., there are like literally 1,000 tequila brands on the market in, say somewhere like Southern California. Keeping it going,
really, that's happening because last year we discovered that there are at least 500 other people that feel the same way. You know, that's what keeps it going. We sold out last year's event, even with ticket sales only starting about 6 weeks before the event started. And that really was gratifying and amazing to us. And that showed us, hey, number one, there's a real appetite for more and better tequilas from people all around the Lower Mainland and as far away as Calgary and Portland, as far as the ticket buyers. And we said, well, we need a bigger venue as well. So, yeah, that's kind of what's keeping it going. We love it. We had a good time doing it. We met all kinds of other people that just said, thank you for doing this. And it's driving us forward.
And tequila is, like, people are talking more and more about it. Tell us the dates. That's what we thought we'd do this early, to get people so they know about it if they want to get tickets. Tell us the date and some of the particulars about the event.
Sure. It's May 24th. It's at the Vancouver Hyatt Regency Hotel. It's from 6 to 9 p.m., excuse me. You can get tickets by going to our website, VancouverTequilaExpo.com. There's a ticket link right on the front page. More information will be filled in as we go forward. Some of the other interesting things that will be happening all week long, we're doing Vancouver Agave Week this year. So even though it's going to be all 100% agave tequila during the Grand Tasting Hall event on Friday night, all week long we're going to have seminars, tasting dinners, and other educational and fun tasting opportunities at venues around town, around Vancouver, for different tequilas, different mezcals, maybe even a couple other agave spirits that are out there, like Sotol, which people here probably haven't heard of. A lot of fun going on all week long.
And sometimes when you hear the word tequila, it just sounds like fun. And what is your favorite brand? Because there are so many to choose from, and some are pretty mellow. It depends on what you like, of course, but what is your favorite you can recommend to people here?
Well, as I spin around in my office chair and look at my tequila bar,
nice office.
Yeah, fair enough. Some of the ones that are here in the province, I'm going to be honest with you. A couple of these I import personally, but Azuña Tequila, T1 Tequila Uno, those are among my top choices. Some that are not imported by me, but are in the province. Casa Noble, that's another one of my top choices. That's available at private liquor stores only at this time, as far as I know. Some other ones that are available that people see in the States that I'm a big fan of, Tequila Tapatio, El Tesoro, or when they're vacationing down in Mexico as well.
I just got back from Los Cabos, and there was all kinds at the airport, of course, and everybody has a different way they like to drink it. What is your favorite way to drink tequila?
For me, like, if you take the mini brandy snifter, the big size brandy snifter, I think, is like 11 ounces, but there's a little sort of 2 or 3 ounce size. Sipping it out of one of those, that's my top choice.
Because some of them are really, you know, they're very pure, and they're not kind of like some that maybe the gold ones that maybe people had when they were younger. It's a different kind of tequila now if you pay a little more, right? And you do have to pay more for a better brand.
The important thing to remember about the difference between, you know, I don't like to deal too much in good and bad, but I'll just give you the technical details, and I think your listeners will be able to figure out the rest. So if it says just tequila on the bottle and doesn't say 100% agave, then that means that it's only 51% agave, 49% random industrial sugars like corn syrup or cane syrup or other things used in that fermentation part of the process. And if it says 100% agave on the bottle, then it is 100% agave.
That's
the difference, essentially. The gold tequilas pretty much will just say tequila. They won't say 100% agave. So that's really, I think, the critical important piece of information for figuring out whether you want to actually put this in your body or not.
Absolutely. We're going to talk more about maybe your favorite margarita recipe. Alan, I want to know from you, though, tell us some of the stories that people have been, you know, maybe one story about someone who's been helped with the foundation.
Well, there are so many. It's like picking the favorite tequila for Eric. It's very difficult to do. But one that's pretty close to home for your listeners on the island. and you might have read about it in the news, was a young lady who worked at a Nanaimo restaurant who was the victim of a home invasion. And she was incorrectly targeted, and her home was invaded, and she was assaulted and received major injuries to her head and from concussions, and her jaw was broken and ribs, etc. And she just happened to be, she was next door, she was in the wrong address, and she got very, very badly injured. Obviously, dependent on the hospitality industry for her livelihood, working in a restaurant, it was very difficult for her to get back to work, just from an appearance point of view, from an emotional point of view. And we were able to, what actually happened in that instance was that the people in the area, the industry people in the area, said, we've got to raise some money for her to support her. And what we did was we said we'd match funds raised for her up to $4,000. And we were part of a group of people in the industry who felt that it was important to help our own. And that was, it was just something that this woman could not have planned for. And, was it working for a company in a small restaurant where the benefits, if they existed, were minimal? And that's a classic example of a situation where we have helped. And, there are other examples of people, whether they're having organ transplants or whether they've got breast cancer or colon cancer or they've been the victim of a car accident.
That's wonderful. Now, can you tell us, Alan, how do people get a hold of you if they want to know more?
Our website is the best way to go, and they can find out more about the foundation, www.bchospitalityfoundation.com. And if someone is interested, if someone knows someone who feels that they might be in need of help, there's an online application form, and we have a whole process of going through and trying to see if we can help an individual.
That's so fabulous. And Eric, one more time, if people want to get tickets, how can they get those?
They can go to www.vancouvertequilaexpo.com.
Excellent. I want to know from you, margarita. Tell us your margarita, your standard best margarita mix.
Absolutely. So very simple. A 100% agave blanco tequila, blanco meaning, of course, unaged, mixed with lime juice and agave nectar and a little bit of orange liqueur. In BC, one of my favorite options, so Cointreau is kind of the standard, but the Giffard line of flavoring syrups and liqueurs, they've got a macerated orange peel curacao that I like.
Ooh. And real lime juice? You can't use a fake lime juice?
Yeah,
be real.
Freshly squeezed lime juice. So actually, my margarita, just to give the full-on recipe, two shots of Blanco tequila, one shot of lime juice, one shot of the orange liqueur, and then a couple bar spoons of agave nectar to taste.
Now I'll get you to send that to me, Eric, if you would, and we'll put that on my website, lifestylewithpattymack.com, and I'm sure there'll be many blenders going tonight. So thank you so much, Eric and Alec, and good luck with the foundation and with the event, and I hope to see you there.
Thanks very much.
Take care. When we come back, Dr. Tony Joe from REMAX.
Tokyo, Paris, New York. World-class cities. You could have lived in one of them, but you chose Vancouver Island. Well done. Now that it's time to downsize, consider Hazelwood Crossing. A beautiful home for the rest of your life. Solid wood cabinetry, crown moldings, garage, granite countertops, elegant fireplace, starting at $389 and just a stone's throw from the Galloping Goose Trail. You've seen the world, but this is home. Hazelwood Crossing. Learn more at hazelwoodcrossing.com.
Nobody gives you power.
Monday on Bravo.
Real power is something you take.
The Backstab.
I need to be sure that there are no more secrets.
Is back.
There aren't. Ewings don't fail.
The Double Cross is back.
About time we had a little talk.
And now the secret is out.
A jaded man is a dangerous man.
Dallas is back.
Nobody lives forever.
Wouldn't have it any other way.
And it's badder than ever. Dallas, all new season starts Monday at 6. Only on Bravo.
This is Victoria's News Authority, CFAX 1070.
Good morning, I'm Ted Jenner with a CFAX 1017 news update. The I Don't Know More movement rally that was planned for Sunday is going on right now in downtown Victoria. The group of students, reportedly in the thousands, have met at Centennial Square and are now moving down Government Street towards the Legislature Building. We'll have more details on the event as they become available. Members of the BC Teachers Federation have voted unanimously to ratify their deal reached with the BC Public School Employers Association. BCTF President Susan Lambert says this is a significant step in the right direction. The BCTF now must wait to see if the BCPSEA also ratifies so that the two sides can begin negotiating despite what the BCTF calls government interference earlier this week. If fully ratified, bargaining would begin on February 4, 2013, and proposals would be exchanged as soon as possible, but no later than March 1, 2013. Thousands of Americans are marching in Washington, D.C. in favor of gun control. Organizers say December's elementary school massacre in Connecticut inspired a national reaction that led to the march. One participant says she immediately thought of her two young children when she heard about the shooting and decided she must take action. And at least 27 people died and hundreds were injured in violent protests on the streets of Port Said, Egypt. Angry relatives and residents rampaged after a judge sentenced 21 soccer fans to death for their role in last February's post-game violence that left 74 people dead. The remaining 52 defendants are scheduled to be sentenced on March 9th. Some have been charged with murder, others with assisting the attackers. I'm Ted Jenner with CFAX 1070 News. After the news at 11, we called the Yo resident and we did not get a correct answer to our newsmaker question. So after the news at 12, our prize will be $57. Brought to you by the 22nd Annual Victoria Health Show on this weekend at Perks Rec Center. I'm Ted Jenner. If it's happening, it's here. Victoria's News Authority, CFAX 1070. Your time is 11:33.
Now, Lifestyle with Patty Mack on CFAX 1070.
We are back, and joining me is Tony Joe from RE/MAX Camosun, and I'm also an agent at RE/MAX Camosun. And the state of the market, I think it's looking good. What do you think, Tony?
You know, it's amazing when you think about it. We're in such a great time right now. It just makes one wonder that sometimes perhaps people aren't seeing the opportunity that is standing right in front of them.
Well, you're absolutely right. I know I had you on last month when I was filling in during the weekdays, and you want to talk a little bit about the bottom out of prices. We're kind of there, right? I mean, the interest rates are low. They're going to stay until for a year or two more. The prices are low, and if you're going to move up, move down, invest. It's a great time to do that now.
It is. And, you know, it's interesting because people often ask, where are we at right now price-wise? And we're reminding people that we hit the peak in about 2010, so mm-hmm. we're below that point right now. So more specifically, if somebody bought a house, the bad news is if somebody bought a particular house in 2010 and wants to sell it now, they will unfortunately be losing money.
Yes.
On the flip side, the prices that we're at right now are pretty well where we were at in about 2006. So, I mean, on one hand, it sounds like maybe people are backwards after 6 years worth of time. The thing that we'd like to point out is back in 2006, you know, we're at 3% interest rates right now.
Mm-hmm.
And in 2006, they were 6.75, 6.85.
That's a really good point to make, too, right? That we forget all these things.
It is. And you know, you think about that difference in the interest rate, which is double. The cost to actually own a house on a monthly basis is more now than it was the last time the prices were this low.
Wow. And I think, Tony, things went up for so long, and it was like, oh, this is great, you know. And you've been in the business a long time in Victoria, and, you know, houses just sold as soon as they, you know, different times sold quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And now people have to hear the news that they're not going to be making what they think they are in it, but they're also going to be buying into the same market.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can't really lose.
No,
unless you say if you bought in 2010, then that's just the cost of doing business sometimes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's also another good point. So I guess a question that people often have is who would be affected the most by softer prices right now?
Mm-hmm.
And anyone who is thinking of selling right now at a loss to get out of the market altogether, so maybe going back into renting or moving to another place, it will cause an effect. I mean, their equity, of course, is eroded from the peak of 2010, right?
Right.
But as you just mentioned, if they're planning on buying particularly upwards, they're actually going to be doing okay because they're buying in the same market, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you know, if we're down, let's just throw a number out. If we're down 3%, from when somebody bought, you know, maybe they bought at $500,000, their house is down now $15,000, but if they're buying upwards to an $800,000 house, that house has gone down $24,000.
Right.
Yeah, so it is all kind of relative.
And you know, when you go in to look at a house, the fact is we don't make up numbers. The market dictates what it's going to be, and you have comparable houses around, and so people decide what they're going to pay. So you can't really ask for more than what it's worth, right, because the market dictates that.
Yeah, I was Canadian Business Magazine actually interviewed me a week and a half ago, and one of the points that they were talking about was, you know, what's with all this inventory right now, because we are high in inventory.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's reduced somewhat, but the fact is that I think, unfortunately, a lot of people have priced their property right now with the hope that they'd break even. You know, after property assessments come out in January, of course, a lot of people are thinking, well, if I get assessed value, that'd be great. Those two factors are not relevant at all, because it really depends on just what somebody's willing to pay, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. So if you're wanting to buy a new house, I read your blog, and really the best thing is you need to sort of get yours listed, find out what it's worth, so the money you have, because conditional offers are not really what people want.
No, no. So you're talking about someone making an offer subject to the sale of their house.
Exactly.
Yeah, and you know, the problem is that is an ideal scenario for someone if they want to move upwards, to be able to, in a risk-free manner, say, I'll buy your house if mine sells.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is it's a false reality, because you see, the seller is in the same market. Mm-hmm. And the seller knows that if they haven't sold, the likelihood of you selling first is pretty slim as well, unless you decide to price your house at an irresistible point.
Right.
And you know, which some people are doing. Right.
But a lot of people say, I don't want to, you know,
so
be in a position, don't have a house. But the fact is, like you say, there is a lot of inventory. So, you know, you can make your dates a little longer if you need to. I mean, there's always a way around that, right? But at least you have that security of knowing, unless you have the funds to have the two mortgages.
Yeah. And this is really the point, to be prepared to the point where you, if you are financially able, if the wheels fell off, and if for some reason you were not able to sell your house, or let's just say the market tanked, which we see no indicators for whatsoever, as long as you're able to carry the second house at the same time, obviously nobody intends to do that, because you know you're basically paying interest costs, which really the bank is benefiting from, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And the other thing too, Tony, is right now if you're an investor, you want to get a rental property,
mm-hmm.
It's amazing the kind of prices we're seeing that you can get into, you know, an up and down, the kind of investments you can make right now if you want to.
Yeah, and it goes back to what we originally were talking about, which is the interest rates. You know, right now you're buying with everything that is 5-year term is below 3% right now. Even a 10-year mortgage is somewhere around 3.8 or 3.9%. It is so cheap. And, you know, people often have the concern, what happens if the rates go up? Well, I think the economists generally agree that we're not going to see that in the next 12 months or so. But if the only real way, of course, to make money is to hold properties for a long amount of time, right?
Exactly. It's not flipping year to year anymore. This is a longer-term thing.
Yeah, the flips, sadly, you know, people made a lot of money when the market was going upwards, and we're just not seeing that kind of opportunity anymore.
Right. How are you finding business right now, Tony? I've found it's picking up, that
mm-hmm.
people are now realizing, you know what, I think we're at where we need to be. The rates are good. I'm gonna put my foot in and you know, see what the water's like there.
Well, it's funny because people, you know, the newspapers, the economists always talk about what's going on there with, you know, number of sales and the specifics and all that. But in actuality, is the man on the street, or the people on the street, so people like you and me,
mm-hmm.
we are actually very able to say how things are going just based on the number of phone calls that we get.
Absolutely. So stats are one thing, but sometimes it doesn't really show you what the reality of some of your clients are and how they've sold quickly because they were priced right.
Yeah. And the other thing, too, is, you know, we should mention the lag time because, for instance, we've had a couple of properties receive offers on them in the past few days. Mm-hmm. We knew that we knew this was going to happen because the phone inquiries were picking up last week. Mm-hmm. But we're not going to see these sales until they go unconditional into the next month. And that's when the economists start talking about what happened. And it's usually 3 or 4 weeks afterwards, right?
Right. So what are your tips then for people then if they want to get out there and buy?
Well, you know, as always, make sure you have your ducks in a row. You've got to make sure that you go to your bank or to your mortgage specialist and have your mortgage pre-approved. And the key word there is approval, not just the pre-qualification, you know, not just an online visit. You actually got to go and give your T4s and your documentation to someone to make sure that you're ready to go, because what will invariably happen is you'll find something that you really want to act on, and it is always best to make sure that you have all your ducks in a row.
Absolutely. Good advice. Now, how do people get a hold of you, Tony, if they want to know more?
Oh, again, always get on my website. It's tonyjoe.ca, T-O-N-Y-J-O-E.ca, and my email is tony@tonyjoe.ca.
And I'm Lifestyle Patty Mack. If you want to get a hold of me, thanks so much, Tony. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you again probably next month.
You bet.
Okay, when we come back, we'll talk to Rachel about good books.
Traffic got you down. We'll get you up and going with more traffic more often. If it's happening, it's here. Victoria's News Authority, CFAX 1070. Now, CFAX 1070 Community Connection.
Brought to you by Saffron Window Fashions.
I'm Vanessa Davies with the CFAX team. It's Robbie Burns Day weekend, so of course I'm checking out celebrations at Craig Derrick Castle, where the Dunsmuir family were known to host celebrations for Robbie Burns Day in true Scottish tradition. In fact, Robert Dunsmuir and his wife were married in the same town where Burns' first book was published. Fun fact, today at Craig Derrick Castle, there's musical entertainment with Piclete and an address to the haggis at noon, followed by haggis tasting, which I hope I'm brave enough to do. Then you get to enjoy the music as you tour the castle. With your admission fee as a tribute to Robert Burns, the castle is sending everyone home with a free copy of a Robert Burns poem. I wonder which one it'll be. And a recipe for haggis, because everybody wants to know how to make haggis at home and know exactly what goes into it. I'm loving the music so far and getting pretty hungry, so I'm thinking this is going to go really well. Happy Robert Burns Day weekend. Meet me at Ogden Point in an hour and cross your fingers for sun. I'm Vanessa Davies, and that's your Community Connection, brought to you by Saffron Window Fashion Drapery and Blinds and CFAX 1070.
In 1994, Glenn Clark and Adrian Dix demanded union-only labor for the Island Highway, boosting costs by 37%. Remember the fast ferries? Built for $460 million, sold for under $20 million. Dix resigned from the Premier's office after falsifying a document during an official police investigation. Now he wants another chance?
Adrian Dix, a risk we can't afford. Visit ccforbc.ca.
Yo, 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 this is Carl. I'm busy saving the world. You know what to do.
Carl, it's Pat. Come on, what's going on, man? I can see you through the window. I know you're home, okay? Just open the door.
Every day, millions of Canadians suffer in silence from some form of mental illness because they're afraid of being judged and rejected. On Bell Let's Talk Day, for every text message sent or long-distance call made by a subscriber, Bell will donate 5 cents to organizations working for mental health. On February 12th, let's talk.
We are back. I'm going to talk to Rachel Sentes from Gal Friday Publicity this next two segments. You know, publicity is such an important thing. We get a company going, or say we had a book we were publishing, and we forget the most important thing is to get the word out. And that's what Rachel does, and does very well. How are you, Rachel?
I'm great. Thanks for having me, Patty.
Well, it's always good to talk to you. Now, I know you say you're super busy, too. Things are really picking up in the land of books and publicity. Tell me about your business, Rachel, and how you got into publicity.
I'm a freelance publicist, so I'm all by myself, CEO and everything.
Wow.
Except I have a great team of people. I have a literary agent, Brian J. Wood. I have my sister, Dr. Kyla Sentes, who's a fantastic researcher.
And she likes dogs.
And she loves dogs. And shout out for Dog Hair Inc. And I just recently started working with a researcher in the UK. So we have a UK branch.
Yeah, I saw that. Now, what's that all about?
Well, he's a freelance writer that actually interviews interviewed a client of mine for a publication in Toronto, and we seem to be getting a lot more requests for publicity in the UK with some of the books that are set there and some of the authors that are branching out a bit. And so we thought, well, let's see what we can do out there.
Now, do you find your business, Rachel, is this something that, you know, you just don't step into and know it all? This takes a lot of years to learn the ins and outs and who you have to know and...
Yeah, I would say you do have to, first of all, you have to have a love of what you're doing, so mm-hmm. books especially. But I started out as a bookseller at Indigo Music, Inc., and I then mentored underneath a publicity agency in Edmonton and sort of learned the ropes. But I think there's some people that are just naturally like to present work of other people, and we're kind of in the background. And so I've spent a lot of hours researching and reading and getting connections, because it's really the relationships you build with people that will get the publicity for your clients.
And what are the good, the bad, the pros, the cons of having your own business? What do you love? What do you kind of, what are the worst parts about it?
I would recommend that if you're going to go into business, maybe have a little bit of overhead before you start into
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
I did not, because it came up very quickly for me. I had to make a decision when my agency was closing, what do I do? And I thought, well, I've got all these great clients. Let's see if I can do this by myself. So I didn't have sort of the backup startup things that everybody should have. So that can be a bit of a struggle if you don't have clients. And you have to take time to source and find new clients, and that can take a lot of your time as well. And I think for one person to run a business, you really have to learn how to farm out certain aspects, definitely accounting, which takes up way too much time doing all of the back end of the business. And so when you're trying to focus on learning how to do the best job you can to get results, it takes a lot of your time away from that. And I think any new startup should really consider farming that out early.
Those are all good tips. But is it kind of fun being your own boss?
I love it. I love it. That's one of the perks of self-employment. A, I get to work at home. B, I can set my own hours, and I can go out and, you know, play tennis and play hooky if I want to.
And you can tell yourself off if you want, because you're your own boss.
Oh, well, you know, but I do love having a team behind me, too, because they really give me that good kick when I need it.
Exactly. Now, what do you do in your business? Because, you know, you are books, and we'll talk about that later, mm-hmm. but you do lots of different things. So tell us kind of the breakdown of what you offer.
Kinds of services to businesses. We do writing, we do business publicity. I just recently did Echelon Foods and the turducken campaign of Christmas.
Ooh, TJ here did a turducken for Christmas. I sent you a picture. It was unbelievable.
Oh, yeah, it was a fabulous campaign. I worked with people that may need help to boost their business. I had an alpaca farmer who needed to help, you know, sell their alpaca
wow.
for their farm. So I did that as well. We offer editing and manuscript assessments, publishing consulting, you name it. We can kind of see what the media is looking for and what you're looking for as part of marketing and advertising, because I think that everybody should have all those three elements in every business they work with.
Absolutely. The worst thing you do is start a business and not have a budget for that.
Yeah.
And, you know, my husband's at CTV Hudson, and I always says edit, because people write too long. So whether it's a book or a brochure, we need to take out a lot of the flowery words, right, and just say what we mean.
Yeah, content is king when it comes to getting your word out. And we find, you know, I think with everything that's changing in how visuals are coming online, how ads are going, there's so many ads that you see every day as well that we'll look at too and say, well, do you have that action in the ad? Are you telling me to actually go purchase this, or are you just talking about yourself? And so we can look at every aspect of publicity for business as well as for authors. And I think that's very important for every business owner as well to really research what they're doing, and before they jump on a bandwagon of some new thing, to really see, well, where are the stats for this? How can I understand if this is going to work for my business?
Right, and just like people, the social media, everything else, you can't beat your print, your radio, your TV, especially here at Bell Media. And when we come back, I want to talk more about some good reads and authors that you have. Back in a minute.
So retirement living, why should I choose the Wellesley?
The Wellesley of Victoria is well-established with dedicated staff and excellent indoor activities, from discussion groups and guest speakers to bridge, shuffleboard, cribbage, and many others. The Wellesley community is spacious, including a stage with seating area for up to 140 people.
The Wellesley, independent and assisted living at its best. Ask Margot about a free trial stay at 383-9099. So nice to come home to the Wellesley of Victoria.
You've planned your international trip.
Yeah.
You're ready to go.
Yeah.
You've gotten your vaccines. It's not too late. Get it done at the Victoria Travel Clinic and People's Pharmacy. They offer a full range of travel services, including vaccines, a review of your itinerary, health assessment, and education on the prevention and self-treatment of travel-related diseases. Pick up what you need from their full range of natural and quality products. The Victoria Travel Clinic at People's Pharmacy. Visit today at Fairfield Road and Moss Street. Online at victoriatravelclinic.com.
If upgrading your garage door is on your list of home improvement projects, do it now during the Love Your Door contest at Harbor Door. Purchase a replacement steel insulated Clopay garage door before February 28th, and you'll be entered to win the value of your new door. For overhead garage doors, operators, and gate systems, count on the door professionals. Online at harbordoor.com and the Harbor Door showroom at 210 Mary Street, celebrating 25 years in business.
Harbor Door!
This year, get the Working Opportunity Fund commercialization shares working for you. Receive extra tax savings of up to 30% with the added bonus of dividend payments of up to 25% over a three-year period. An RSP investment that delivers the tax savings and dividends you deserve. The Working Opportunity Fund commercialization shares. Invest today. Shares of the fund are sold by prospectus. Go to growthworks.ca for details and limitations. Dividends are not guaranteed.
Listen to the Connor Financial Report every Saturday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Frankly speaking, you can't afford to miss it.
We are back with Rachel Sentes from Al Friday Publicity. Rachel, a lot of people nowadays think they have a book in them, and I know you don't take everybody because not every book sells. Where do you start, though, if you have a book that you want to write?
Well, you have to research the right fit for the publisher, or if you're going to self-publish, and what's the good route that's going to be for you. I think that once the writing done is done, the business of writing starts. Mm-hmm. And every author needs to be aware of how to, you know, look up target markets, how to submit a proposal if you're going to go traditionally, and how to really know what's going to be the best way to get your book out.
And what is a success as far as numbers for a book?
If you're looking at a traditional publisher, every genre is a little different, but your aim would be to sell about 2,000 books in the first year.
In the first year.
Yeah.
And how does it drop off after that? Is it...
You want a book that you know, is steady, that can stay on the shelves, that can, you know, become one of those books that people always see there. Kind of your core books is what you would like. You know, a few sales per month. You don't have to keep being a great seller, but that first year is very important.
And is that what you do? You help get those placed in the right spots in a store?
Oh, yeah, we can certainly do that. We can certainly talk to all of the places that you're looking to get your book established and to work with you to work on sales, because publicity, marketing, advertising all go together. So we put a plan together and see what's the best route for your book and your audience.
Now, you've got lots of great authors. Give us some titles and a little bit about them that we think would be a good read for our audience.
Well, I have a fantastic new book just coming out called Unstuck, How to Get Out of Your Money Rut and Start Living the Life You Want.
That's a good time of year for that, isn't it?
Yeah, it's perfect, actually, which is why I'm talking about it.
Yeah, and who's that by?
It's by Karen Mizgala and Sheila Walkington, who are Money Coaches Canada here in Vancouver. And their book is going to be out. It's coming out. It's just out now, and it's fabulous. It's a great read, and it's really funny, too. I really enjoy it.
And that's good, because, you know, some of them can be kind of dry, so that's good to know.
No, I find this one just fabulous. And for fiction, I have a great book called The Frigoli Delusion, which is actually kind of, it's a psychological thriller by Michael J. McCann, who's an Ottawa author. And it's the third in this Donahue and Steiner crime novel series. And it's really, really good. I really love thrillers.
And people do love that right now, don't they?
Yes.
Whether it's on TV or books, people love that kind of genre.
Yes. And of course, I will shout out to William B. Davis, who his memoir, Where There's Smoke, is a fabulous fabulous read, especially for Vancouver and theater in general. It's a great read, not just X-Files. It's all about his life as an actor.
Yeah, he's a really prolific actor, and he's got an acting school, doesn't he, as well?
Yeah, yes, he did. He did run an acting school, and now he's on Continuum on the air, which is fabulous. And I have actually a new author, a children's author. Her name's Chai Emeril, and she's written a lovely little book called A Rose in the Desert, and it's about a girl who is wondering if she's going to have a birthday while she's in a refugee camp in Chad.
Aww.
And she's actually out of the States. She's an Atlanta author who I've just started working with, and it's a wonderful story, just about family and you know, coping in difficult situations.
And now hockey's back on. Chris Pronger, you have a book by him.
I have Sean Pronger.
Sean Pronger.
Yeah, his brother, Journeyman. He is, that's a great book. And, you know, I'm not the hugest hockey fan, but I love what he wrote because it's just about everybody who's always trying to make it. And, of course, he was overshadowed by the success of his brother, Chris Pronger, who, you know, is kind of a superstar in the NHL. And that here's Sean, who's on all these great teams and showing that, you know, you just keep going and you have a great, great time while you do the best you can.
Well, you know, I was lucky enough to go to Oprah the other day with my daughter, and it was really neat because she's 21 almost next week, and she's in the UVic business program. And the life lessons in that, you know, doesn't really matter what we do. I mean, yeah, she's Oprah and big and all that stuff, whether you're
right.
Chris or Sean Pronger. You know, it's what we give back to, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the journey's different for all of us, and there's no one better or worse. It's just what we do and how we use what we have to give
exactly.
to others.
Exactly, yeah, and he's having great success, and he loves what he's doing, and I think that's what comes across in a lot of these great books. And I have to say, I worked on my first erotica humor book.
Ooh.
It's by actually former Vancouver Sun journalist Alan Daniels, and it's an e-book, and it's called Spank, The Improbable Adventures of George Aloysius Brown.
Well, that might be good for Valentine's.
That's what we're hoping people will sign up. So far, it's gotten wonderful reviews on Amazon, and it's the first time, actually, that my business has gone from start to finish with a book. We actually produced the book, worked on the cover, did all the formatting, and now the publicity for it.
Wow, that's really interesting. Must be like having a baby kind of launching, huh?
Yeah, it's a huge thing, you know, it's great when you get good reviews and you get people saying, hey, this is a really funny book. It's not, you know, it's got a little bit of erotica for those who like it, but it's also just the story of someone who has no idea what this world's about and his misadventures.
Because The Shades of Grey has really changed the market lately.
It definitely has helped, but it's also hindered in some ways because, you know, I think there was a lot of discussion about the quality of writing in Shades of Grey, and I'm sort of looking for that step up from it so that the writing is really good.
And you feel this book has got that?
Oh, yes, I definitely do. I enjoy the writing, and it's witty. It's a fun romp.
And what's the name of that again?
It's called Spank by Alan Daniels.
Sounds great. Now, if people want to know more about your authors, about you, how do they do that?
Oh, they can visit my website. It's gal-fridaypublicity.com. And I also have a Facebook page as well, just Gal Friday Publicity, that you can find us there. And you can always give us a call as well, 604-366-7846.
Now, you also write, don't you?
I do, yes.
So what are you working on?
Well, my agent would say that, hey, you're 2 years behind on your work. I'm still working on my dog's memoir. But she's 15 and a half now, so I really need to speed it up.
Wow, 15 and a half. What kind of dog is she?
She's a Border Collie Whippet Cross.
Oh, yeah, I saw her picture with you. And your sister's business, what's that called again?
She's got Dog Hair Inc., and that's Dog Hair INC. And she's also got Dr. Kyla's Emporium, which is famous for her pocket monsters. Everyone from John Landis to Guillermo del Toro has one of her pocket monsters.
Oh, we got to get her on too, Rachel.
She's a great fun.
I want to get one of those bow ties for my dog on her website.
We make those too.
Yeah, so cool. Yeah. Rachel, you have a great day. It's always wonderful to talk to you.
Well, thanks, Patty. I appreciate it.
Okay,
my pleasure.
Talk to you soon. Okay. And thanks all of you for listening as always, TJ. And until we meet again, get out there and enjoy.